What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As if they don't have too much on their plates. The Kings of Combat Sports Podcast, John and Wade. They talk about the things they did that day. The land of the work of Triple H.
Rewind to SmackDown. 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 Rewind to SmackDown.
It's the night before John Cena's retirement. And tonight, SmackDown celebrates John Cena's career one night before his final match. I mean, he got the graphic treatment from Wei Ting. I mean, first of all, can we just react to tonight's emotional celebration for John Cena?
What a celebration it was. I think I saw like three video packages. Some celebrities talking about John Cena.
Hey, they got Tom Brady.
I got a video game commercial. And that was...
Tonight as we celebrate milking one last number out of John Cena's IP for another episode of SmackDown, which he will not be present for.
They really barely milked, okay?
This was the main thing they promoted all day long on WWE.com. It was a big face of John Cena splashed on the website for tonight's celebration of John Cena on SmackDown.
That it was, yeah. What were we expecting? You know, we knew what dates this man had available, and clearly this wasn't going to be one of them before his actual retirement match. So I don't know what I was expecting, but I mean, this was, I don't know how they could justify calling this one a celebration.
Well, it was quite the night of SmackDown that we will be getting to momentarily. And I believe John Cena will be appearing at Saturday night's main event. And as soon as that match ends, well, later on Saturday evening, I should say, Wei and I will be live with a review of Saturday night's main event. We will be up sometime late Saturday night. So TBD.
About 10:30, something like that. We'll see. We kind of have lives to live on Saturday too. So we'll be there. You guys will know via our social media.
Yes. I'm going to be out Saturday night. So I will be watching this at some point on Saturday, and then we will get together for this, but that's coming up Saturday. I also want to make mention that we have put up a nearly 2-hour review of the Bubba the Love Sponge documentary for Cafe members. Video killed the radio star, and I enlisted David Bixenspan to join me, the only person I could imagine, tackling this documentary. I was very happy with the show. I thought it turned out really well, and it was quite the thorough review of, like, this whole Bubba the Love Sponge, Hulk Hogan sex tape scandal was, you know, a story that, like, Bixenspan was, like, at the forefront of reporting on this trial in 2016, and even talked about in this show, like, the difference it made in his career, the coverage that he was providing at the time, and news he was reporting on. So, really great discussion with Bixenspan, and even digging up a great gem of a Dixie Carter email reacting to Hulk Hogan's appearance on Howard Stern to do damage control after the sex tape clip was launched. All great stuff.
And is this going to be available for streaming at any point, this documentary?
I mean, you can rent it now. It's available on Apple TV. You can rent it on Apple TV or buy it. It's on Google Play, I think, as well. Like, okay. It's not on
No future plans?
No, not that I'm aware of. But You will see. If you listen to this, we will see if you're so intrigued to watch it. Right. I don't know how interested Wei seems in watching this Bubba the Love Sponge documentary, but it is it's an interesting documentary, as I said earlier this week.
I'm not at all interested, but I did check out the podcast, and I'm working my way through it still.
All right. Let us get into SmackDown tonight from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, the Mohegan Arena, 5,388, according to WrestleTix. Their last trip there was for a SmackDown episode in May of 2024, 7,935 for that event. So we had a 30% decline from Monday's Raw from the last time that they were there, and a 32% decline this time. Now, how much more are they charging for these tickets? We do not know, but, you know, a sizable decrease, at least in tickets distributed for the show. Nick Aldis is trying to reinstate Drew McIntyre, but Drew has ghosted Nick, and he is publicly inviting him to go to SmackDown tonight, and he meets with Cody Rhodes backstage. Drew is not here, but Drew's lawyer has sent them a legal letter calling this an unsafe work environment. So Aldis is going to Drew's house.
Mm-hmm.
I want this vignette on WWE.com this week. Nick traveling. Yeah, having to get on a plane, hitchhike to Drew's house, and he's going to go meet him. Cody crumples up the letter from Drew and storms out to the ring. Rhodes says, "Drew, I don't sweat you because you're only half in. And if I was your boss, I'd fire you. But I can't fire you, but I can whip your ass." And then he is interrupted by Oba Femi, who comes out doing the Oba march. And Femi says that you're worried about the wrong guy. He introduces himself. "I am the mountain you cannot climb or conquer." And he quotes John Cena and says, "Your time is up. My time is now." I know that this is obviously the dominating theme of the lead up to this retirement, but much like John Cena retiring, I am also looking forward to everyone retiring. All John Cena moves, all catchphrases. I am ready for everybody to move on. I am hoping this is not another Eddie Guerrero where we will have AAs for 20 more years.
I doubt it. I mean, I feel like that's usually reserved for people that are no longer with us. And I don't think we've seen it with, you know, other superstars so much.
I don't think there's too many outside of Eddie that they do this for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many tribute spots do we get, especially over the course of two decades since the man passed? Like, Eddie's an anomaly in that sense. Like, he's as relevant to this crowd. I won't say as much as when he was alive, but, like, he has to be one of the, like, think about this figure that
he's overexposed.
20 years that, like, this audience is reminded of multiple times per week in multiple promotions.
Yeah. Totally. No, so I don't know if people will be doing, well, they'll be doing AAs, like, maybe in certain matches, you know, when it calls for it, but not in...
Maybe we'll get guys, like, screaming out spots.
Maybe.
Yeah. Other tributes. Wrap this up, Rhodes says that, you know, that's a John Cena line. Good one, Cody. You got it. He says, that's someone that we both look up to, but I beat Cena for this title. And Oba won't let him leave, and they just hoist up their belts for their face-off going into Saturday. I thought Oba came off really well in this segment. For a guy that came out, he really didn't have, this is obviously a program that it's just two guys wrestling and having to go out there and at least prove that he could talk in a live setting in front of an arena atmosphere. And I liked the segment. It was simple, and that was the extent of what we were going to get built up for this match tomorrow.
I thought his confidence was good. You know, I think it shows them that it's probably more than enough for them to work with at present time. I don't expect him to necessarily be called up. I personally don't expect it until like May, you know, if that. Like, he feels like somebody who could probably benefit from a little more time just seasoning in NXT in this sort of like hyper spotlight before getting a proper call up. But this is their chance to see what he looks like next to a top guy in Cody Rhodes. And in terms of just size, in terms of look, I mean, he certainly has it. Mm-hmm. Confidence on the microphone, I thought, was strong as well. it's obviously, you know, could be taken to a higher level just with a bit more character and with a bit more introduction and a bit more feud and a bit more rivalry. But like, I think the base level talent and skills and just the X factor maybe even is there. The pop tonight I thought was just okay. Wasn't necessarily cold, but not great. He had a small sort of like vocal portion of the audience recognizing him, doing the whole like, you know, chant and all that. And that doesn't necessarily to me say as much about Obafemi as it does about like how much your typical SmackDown audience might be catching up and watching NXT. We know from these numbers it's a fraction, but you know, it was at least like a vocal fraction tonight.
Fraxium speak with Ilya Dragunov backstage. They've got his back against DIY, but Ilya informs them that he must do this alone. I thank you. I will put him, no, punch him into place and teach that jackass that if he plays with a mad dragon, he will burn his fingers. I don't know what this meant, but he did not need help, is what he was being told or informing Fraxium of.
He is a very unique wrestling promo, and I love it.
No one's replicating him, including myself. I can't do a good Ilya, but there you have it. So Ilya defends the U.S. title against Tommaso Ciampa, our longest promoted U.S. title open challenge. I feel this has been 2 months in the making. We've had multiple shirts building up this match, and here we are.
The Tama one is probably a bit longer now at this point.
Well, that's months away. Months away.
Yeah.
So Ilya, Ciampa goes after the previously injured knee of Ilya that's got the brace on it. At one point, Ilya, he gets sent into the steps and then takes another snap suplex into them. Ilya eats a knee, responds with an enziguri, and then there's rolling Germans by Ilya. They had a series of slap exchanges that just escalated. Ciampa applies a half crab, and then it's Ilya escaping and hitting him with these rapid-fire chops that Graves calls Kobashi style, and Ilya gets his nose bloodied, and it just keeps bleeding and bleeding, and by the end of this, it looked like the man's nose had exploded. More slaps from the two. There's a dragon screw, and then Ilya pops up from a German, hits the torpedo Moscow, and he's got the blood smeared all over his face when Johnny Gargano appears, distracting the ref for Candice LeRae to snap his throat on the rope into a big near fall, and then Ilya stops the fairy tale ending, hooking Ciampa's legs, and wins the match in another terrific U.S. title defense by Ilya Dragunov, who is now 8-0 since coming back and winning the title in his first match back.
Yeah, very strong match. I mean, as always, I think this is really designed to be the match of the show, and it almost always completely clears that. I even felt this was maybe one of the stronger matches of the entire run, and I think it was kind of booked to be, given just the longer weeks of build to this one versus the sort of like cold nature of most of them. They built a, like a really strong false finish here with Candice and Gargano. The blood certainly really helped this one, and of course all the hard slapping. So this was, man, I hate to make the comparison, but like most weeks this would probably be one of the matches of the week, but on this week, after that Dynamite, no, like it was not.
Yeah. Collision too. I mean, this is quite the week of matches on television, but this was really great. And in a couple of weeks, maybe he'll be doing, they'll just go Broadway.
Well, the show will need it. Yeah. Expect these to be even longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe he'll do two open challenges per show.
Yeah.
DIY run, they start attacking Ilya. Carmelo Hayes runs down and helps out Ilya. So this was Carmelo coming to Ilya's aid here. And Ilya just looked like the man had been like run over by a truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is, I think, what you'd want out of a babyface like him. So Carmelo's wearing a shirt that says the losers win again. I don't know if this is his shirt or if it's somebody else's, but it's a very loud shirt. What do you think this means?
I didn't know what this was. I assumed it was not his own shirt, but I know someone will inform us what we're missing.
Oh, this is Carmelo Anthony. Is this a Carmelo Anthony quote?
Is it? Okay.
I don't know. I don't care.
See, they're both named Carmelo. Why didn't you know that?
Oh, okay. I'm going to edit this out. I don't want people tweeting. This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. The holiday season is fast approaching, but if you still have a few people left on your shopping list, don't worry. Uncommon Goods takes the hassle out of holiday gifting with thousands of unique, one-of-a-kind presents you won't find anywhere else. Many of these gifts are high-quality, handmade, or crafted by independent artists and small makers. One standout gift this season is the personalized Pet Family Blanket, an exclusive item created by artist Shelly Klein and available only at Uncommon Goods. Shelly creates custom portraits in her sweetly simple illustration style, where you can customize skin tones, hair, clothing colors, and pet details to make it truly personal. Measuring 50 by 60 inches, made from soft cotton and polyester, it's perfect for snuggling with your furry family. Plus, each purchase supports small makers and donates $1 to a nonprofit of your choice, including the International Rescue Committee and American Forests. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/postwrestling. That's uncommongoods.com/postwrestling for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Kathy Kelly is with Javon Evans, and he calls it the biggest stage he's ever wrestled on tomorrow night. And The Miz interrupts, complaining about not having a match at John Cena's retirement when Javon wasn't even born when John Cena debuted. And Evans brings up how Miz lost twice in the Last Time Is Now tournament and leads to a challenge being made and accepted for tonight.
Yeah, that just, every time they remind us that this man, this guy wasn't born at such and such, it just crumbles me inside. He was born 2 full years after John Cena's debut.
Yeah, WWE debut. This guy had been wrestling for like 5 years before Evans was born.
The Kurt Angle scene. Yeah, the Kurt Angle open challenge was 2 full years before Javon Evans was born.
So then we go, they cut to the Wyatt Six, who announced that they're here, and they come out, and they proceed to congregate in the middle of the ring. Uncle Howdy addresses Solo Sikoa, stating how he tried to discredit his family. Well, Sikoa's real family has all turned its back on him for using and abusing those he claims to love, and laughs at the idea of the MFTs running SmackDown. At this point, I was trying to quote the crickets that I was observing during this promo. It was exceptionally quiet, and the Wyatts have these as they lay down the tag titles, and if the MFTs want them, come and get them. And so the MFT's music plays, but they are on the screen. They're not showing up on their terms. Solo calls the shots. Next week, we're coming to take those tag titles and suggests that the Wyatts give them the belts to stay safe, or else the only thing for you to do is run. Mm-hmm. What a showdown we have.
So I thought last week's promo from Solo Sikoa was actually really quite good. You know, maybe among Solo's best, certainly among the MFT's best, at least, you know, since he's been with them. So I was actually like quite looking forward to the Wyatt's reaction, because last week Solo was able to get into a little bit more of a personal dig, alluding to Bray Wyatt throughout. And so this week I was expecting something either just as strong or at least just as personal from the Wyatts. And instead, I mean, we got what felt like a pretty generic, you know, I don't even know if they're heels or baby faces at this point, but it was a very generic promo that I don't think said anything that cut nearly as deep. You know, Bo did say, like, what, you abused your real family so that they turned their back on you. I think he could have, at least made some specific mention, maybe of the members and incidents or something, just to capture some of the audience's attention. Instead, it just like very much sort of swam and drowned in like Wyatt speak, and just kind of resulted in something that was ultimately very forgettable.
Yeah. And I mean, there's also something to be said for doing like a promo of this length with the Wyatts in front of an arena versus like your produced vignettes that you've done with them that I think are a better presentation of these guys. But I mean, that's promo.
They love the entrance though. They want to give the crowd that, right?
Maybe they could do the entrance and then throw to a video. This was us earlier last night at 3 a.m. when we were playing around with our editing equipment.
Well, I mean, when you have that many like potential handicaps, really, like what is the longevity of a group like this? I mean, at this point, they're like okay in ring, but are they much more beyond an entrance? And how far can you run with them? No pun intended.
Yeah, I mean, I find them to be a very difficult act to book into this show. I find it to be a real challenge, and I can't say that they've really found. I mean, that there's been parts where they've come up with creative ways for them. Like there's been moments, but to me, they're kind of few and far between overall. And I just don't think anyone is sinking their teeth into this program.
I mean, the creative has just been awful, I think, on SmackDown. I mean, I think there's still a lot of potential, especially like with what Solo was introducing here. Like really the point of interest that still exists with the Wyatts is the attachment to Bray. And they've really not like sort of fanned those flames too much, at least from a storytelling perspective. They'll mention him maybe for once in a while, but like I want to kind of dig in a little bit more. And they've kind of, since they've moved us back now, completely abandoned any sort of depth to any of these characters.
Charlotte is with Alexa Bliss, and they're discussing her match with Lash Legend and mention going for the tag belts when Rhea Ripley overhears this, stating her and Io are going for the belts next, and Bliss says they won't step aside for anyone. So it does feel we're getting all these teams going for the tag belts at once.
Yeah, you're getting some singles matches on the show, but it's a reminder that the real main event scene in the women's division in the WWE is the tag team division. All right.
Then we had our big video where the likes of Tom Brady, Eli Manning, Snoop Dogg, who's going to smoke a blunt for John Cena, Peyton Manning, Jelly Roll, and Jimmy Fallon all wish Cena well on his retirement. My takeaway from this was just like, we probably are going to get a ton of these tomorrow night, and these ones just aren't going to make the cut tomorrow night.
This was about the most like celebratory of the celebration. This was
yes,
about the
this was the only segment I would qualify as a celebration. I didn't like the this was the only video I noted on my notes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was nice. We'll see what they have in store tomorrow. Solo Ruka and Bayley were shown in the audience, and then Alexa Bliss, Lash Legend. So Lash catches Alexa as she goes for a cannonball off the apron to the floor and gets dumped onto the barricade. And then she bends Alexa's famous double jointed arm to make it look like she was snapping this thing in half. And she hits the Lash Minute.
Yeah.
The Lash Minute.
It's a great looking forearm. I really don't love the name they've come up with it.
Not since Edge has there been a performer that has found the well of punditry for their maneuvers as Lash Legend. She snaps Lash on the rope. Then Nia Jax gets involved. So Charlotte comes over, nails Nia, and Lash takes out Flair with a pump kick. Lash stops a tornado DDT and turns it into Way's favorite, the Lash extension, and wins, noting that she beat a 5-time women's champion. So can't knock the introduction here of Lash Legend. They made her look pretty dominant here against Alexa, and there you go, trying to establish her and Nia.
Yeah, despite like the Nia and Charlotte involvement, I would call this a pretty clean win in that like it was really like Legend was supposed to be the one that was disadvantaged there, and yet she was the one who kind of got distracted, yet Alexa was ultimately the person who got pinned. So this was like, I think, a pretty clean win for Lash Legend here. And, you know, she looked comfortable. What she was tasked to do, I thought she did pretty well. Alexa, I thought, was very good in making her look strong by letting her work with that funky arm of hers. Again, I think the forearm looks great. I would even suggest that, like, to me, that's a better finisher. You know, it's sort of the move they've been promoting leading up to War Games. I think it's better than the Lash Extension, but I mean, maybe they just wanted to establish the Lash Extension here. They got to change some of these names.
Can you just wait until next year after WrestleMania and we get Backlash coming up?
Oh, that's her show.
That's her WrestleMania. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Zelina and Aleister Black are just casually walking down the hallway backstage, and Kathy Kelly gets right into their face. And Zelina explains that for Damian and Rhea, it didn't need to come to this. And Aleister just remarks, if Damian is determined to drag his friends to hell, so be it. This is like the most normal language that this man has ever communicated. I was kind of let down. I like was ready to pause and get some big verbal jambalaya from him, and so be it. He was in a hurry.
I think he needs the ambience, maybe some candles, to really kind of get in the
Where's
zone.
The snake? No snake
in the bag.
Wilkes-Barre. Yeah. Javon Evans against The Miz. So Javon hit this cool acai moonsault from the bottom rope to the floor, and Miz sends his shoulder into the post and then just works on him throughout the break. There was nothing happening during this break, so I'm glad the Americans didn't have to see this. Yeah, it was just a Miz commercial break. Mm-hmm. Evans makes his comeback as soon as they're back on the air, misses this big moonsault, and then it's Miz catching him with a proto bomb and five knuckle shuffle. See my last comments. And goes for the AA, which is countered when Evans lands on his feet, big dive, and then right as Michael Cole notes that Miz has not had a singles win all year long, Evans hits a OG cutter to win the match.
Mm-hmm.
So Miz and Jack Perry, they've
Miz has been a bit more active than Jack Perry. They've completely severed ties with Carmelo at this point, right? Like that seems long gone.
They've severed them so much that I don't think we never even got the match at the end of it, did we?
I don't.
Like they kept attacking each other when they were on their way to the U.S. Open Challenge. Like we never actually got to the match. It just feels like we're moving on.
Carmelo is better off for it at this point. And The Miz, I mean, they all kind of, we all know his role. And to his credit, I think Miz still seems to put a lot of energy into even segments like these. Really, his gimmick is the fact that, he's supposed to be this legend, yet he's booked into or not booked into a more prominent position. And it's, I think it's effective, especially for guys like Javon Evans that people might not know as well, but, want to see perhaps showcase themselves and wrestle a match against somebody like The Miz. It wasn't the most entertaining Javon Evans match, of course, but I still thought it was effective in giving him a nice showcase before the match.
Well, at least he won. I mean, there was a time that Javon mm-hmm. Evans would have lost this match going into Saturday.
Well, I mean, yeah, you had Evans win. I mean, a bigger win was Lash Legend beating Alexa Bliss. But yeah, certainly Javon Evans, I would say we know on the totem pole, he's at least better than The Miz, even if he loses to a Dragunov and whatnot. But I think he wins tomorrow. I think he and Slater win the tag titles tomorrow.
We'll go over this at the end. It's only four matches, but I think we're probably going to get some appearance from The Miz on this show tomorrow night.
Why?
They've just made such a big deal out of it that I could see him in R-Truth at least having some segment on the show tomorrow night.
Maybe.
I mean, they've dedicated all this stuff to him wanting to just get on this show.
That's just his gimmick.
Maybe he shows up and he's not allowed in or something. He doesn't have a ticket. Maybe Mark Shapiro informs him. No comps.
Let's see how many commercials they can fit and whether or not they can fit. I predict maybe The Miz will show up on an international feed during a commercial break or something, if they do that.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Meechan is just doing a walk and talk in the back, just randomly talking to the camera. Somehow in all of this, Cole informs us that she has a match with Jade coming up. You know what? I skipped over
that a second. That was promoted.
Here. Yeah. So Ripley is warming up when Nia and Lash walk up to her and state that things have changed around here. And warns Rhea. Rhea warns her that I'm a problem you don't want to have. And me and Io will take the tag titles whenever we want them. And they leave. Priest tells Rhea to just... you know, don't worry about them, but just be calm down here. And then in walks Jade, and she just stares at Rhea and walks off. A nice tease here that they did with Jade and Rhea.
Yeah, it could be a destination for, you know, like maybe something like a WrestleMania, or just could be feeling out maybe what the audience's demands might be. But obviously, eventually, at some point, we will get this match. Just not necessarily any telling when it would be.
Yeah, we're still waiting for the Jade Charlotte face off to pay off.
Yeah. Well, that she did like way back when she debuted.
This is when she first arrived. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So then Meechan is cutting a promo on Jade, and Jade jumps her in Gorilla and leaves Meechan laying. So Jade comes out, cuts a promo that's what happens when women don't know their position in the back. I'm that bitch. And Meechan comes out with her trusty kendo stick, attacks Jade, pulls out the table, but then Jade takes her out, puts the table back underneath the ring, and choke slams Meechan. So, hardcore match coming.
I guess so. Boy, do I not have interest in seeing that after this.
A holiday street fight.
It's not even so much the sort of like what will likely be a very sort of tame hardcore match. It's more just how little interest they built in Meechan. Or built in me wanting to see Meechan actually fight. They just completely destroyed her in this show. Like, you know, getting attacked in the back, coming out and then getting attacked again, beaten down again, despite having a kendo stick. Like, she's just a total joke in this division. Even like you had Graves saying, you know, we're unlikely to see Meechan challenge her again. I have no interest whatsoever in seeing another match between the two.
Well, it is. It's coming at some point. Way we got to get ready for it.
We got to get Jade in the tag division, okay? Because all the stars are currently in the tag division. Jade has nobody to feud with right now.
Well, she's got the whole division to herself now. This is perfect.
Well, how great of a champion are you if you're not defending against anybody notable?
And then we went to the unfortunate announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, big news here tonight for Friday Night SmackDown. Buffalo, New York, January 2nd, 3 weeks from tonight. Friday Night SmackDown returns to 3 full hours.
The very first SmackDown of 2026, kicking things off in spectacular fashion, starting the year with a bang right here on Friday.
Again, 3 hours of Friday Night SmackDown, 3 weeks from tonight.
Again, 3 hours. You've been warned.
Yeah. Even as sped up as that audio might have been, it'll still feel like 3 hours, I'm sure.
So then we had the announcement that Raw in Hershey, Pennsylvania will feature CM Punk's return after 2 whole weeks and Logan Paul against Rey Mysterio coming up on Monday. Aleister Black and Zelina against Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley. A fight to the death. So it's The men are in together, the women are in together. Black and Zelina jump Priest and Rhea first, and Zelina jumps onto the back of Priest, so he tags in Ripley. They do bring up their match from Puerto Rico back in 2023, and Zelina snaps the arm of Ripley and starts working on it, hits a Meteora, and then we have Zelina. With Ripley on her knees, Zelina goes for this, like, forward flip and was going to land into, like, a head scissors. She definitely had something really ambitious in mind, and this could not have gone more poorly. So
I think what they were going for was exactly what they redid after the spot.
So she goes for it again, of course, and this time it's caught into a riptide.
Yeah. All right. I have to think that's what they were trying for, that counter.
I don't know. She didn't get, like, the legs around her head, I feel, the second time. But anyway.
Was she supposed to?
The first one, that certainly looked to be what she was doing, because she did get the legs around her head. So she was, I don't know what she was trying to do. I can't get into her head. So then the men come in. We get a broken arrow onto Black. Black then uses Zelina as a weapon, watching their Hiromu Takahashi Finley spots. And then they hit double moonsaults to the floor, which they shot overhead. It looked very cool. And Ripley catches Zelina off a high cross. And she goes for the riptide. And Zelina goes to counter it into a code red. And this nearly was a legit code red, because Zelina just smashes her face into the mat. I thought she, like, might have broken her neck here. The announcers are like, oh my god, who got hurt worse there? What happened?
It's because Rhea continued to take the back bump, landing all her weight onto Zelina in the most awkward position.
So this near fall was just, it was necessary. So they go to the next one. They're like, they did hit the code red right after this. So I mean, even after this, though, it just seemed like the two were just on totally different pages. Black then yanks Rhea off of Zelina and stares at her, and she headbutts Black.
What was that supposed to be? Like, why were Rhea and Alistair looking at each other for so long?
I don't know, that they were just teasing a spot. I didn't read too much into it, but they did, like, pause and have this, like, look. I don't know if you were to read more into it.
Like, what, that, like, did Black, like, that they were... Like what? Like, you can't attack me? That sort of thing? And she did anyway?
Yeah, maybe that was it.
I see.
Yeah, okay. She got the spot in. Hits the headbutt. And then it's a double razor's edge by Priest and Rhea and a riptide onto Zelina for the win.
Oh, man, even towards the end here, like, they're going for some sort of head... Like, Zelina's going for some sort of, like, La Mystica head scissors type of thing again. And Rhea was transitioning into an electric chair, but...
Their communication was all off. Like, I think the earlier blown spot, like, they were just, I don't know. It was, these two were just oil and water in this match.
Well, there's really no sugarcoating it. I thought this was, like, in particular from Zelina, I thought this was just a really terrible performance. And I have no doubt, like, she's probably really hard on herself right now in the back. If she's not, then I'm sure the internet is, going to do that for her. But this was not good. And it started with that weird handstand thing that she did twice, the code red attempt. The worst part of all of that is that she went right back to doing the same move after the failure. And it just kind of, you know, it just exposes the match, unfortunately. And, you know, it started off like this already being a pretty tough role for Zelina in that she had to play a heel against somebody as larger and dominant as a Rhea Ripley. I mean, this is the roles reversed from a match that worked incredibly well at Backlash in Puerto Rico, where, you know, it was Rhea as the heel and Zelina as the hometown babyface. In having Zelina trying to work heel against Rhea Ripley, I think it's really tough to buy to begin with. Maybe that was the reason why they wanted her to do so much more, like, sort of like flashier offense, but it was just not working tonight. And you don't really see this sort of breakdown in a match too often in the WWE main roster these days, much less in, like, a main event.
You don't see this on TV for any companies at this level. Like, this is a pretty, like, This felt like, you know, decades ago when like you had just like a totally primitive women's division where matches would fall apart and stuff like this. Like it was like, it's a rarity. You see something like to this extent that it was a brutal match.
Yeah. And like everybody has off nights, you know, we've seen Zelina have good matches before. So I hope she gets a chance to redeem herself in the near future, but tonight was not a good night.
And that's just how the show ended with the mixed tag, and that's how things went off the air. So that was it. A very celebratory night for John Cena. I mean, not a dry eye in the house here in Hershey.
This was honestly like we should all be suing them for false advertising for this one. This was not
like again, folks. They plastered his face onto the website. Like he was the main advertised, and I'm not saying no one was buying, like no one thought he was going to be here, but at the very least you're promoting some celebration. And to me, it's like, we got a 1 minute video package of celebrities recording stuff at the request, I am assuming, of WWE to please send this in when possible.
They like, I haven't watched this, but they had like a great online thing of just like fans sending like their
messages.
They did
way more online this week towards John Cena.
They should be playing stuff like that throughout the commercials, at least to give this feel, the feel of like some sort of thematic celebration. Instead, yeah, they just did the bare minimum. I wouldn't even say they did the bare minimum where you could justify the calling this a celebration. Like you should have the roster, even if you don't have Cena on the show, have the roster like talking about Cena throughout the commercial breaks. You know?
You have enough elements that you would not leave tomorrow bare by doing, like, again, no one was holding a gun to their head that they had to promote this show to be a Cena celebration. But when you're going to, I think it's totally justified that you would be like, this just felt like we were totally trying to milk this night for one more Cena bump. And we're just going to do the absolute bare minimum to just get a number out of putting Cena's face across this show. And maybe people just falsely believing, like maybe he'll show up the night before or something like that. But even if you were knowledgeable that he wouldn't be on this show, that like you didn't even get, like, again, the stuff they've done online this week, they put a ton of stuff up. Mm-hmm. You could have repurposed. But anyway, that said, you had a really tremendous match with Ilya Dragunov and Tommaso Ciampa, and, you know, like fine handling of Lash Legend and Javon Evans. But really, the thing I'd promote, I'd recommend would be the U.S. title match on this show.
If you're looking for, yeah, like what might actually be considered the good part of the show, that might largely be it. I thought the Obafemi Cody segment was okay, but nothing that, you know, would have like spiked your interest that much more. To me, it was more interesting just to kind of see what Femi would look like next to Cody Rhodes on a big stage like this. If you have a vested interest in like these NXT stars, maybe you'd want to check that out. If you're interested in seeing like what a broken down match might look like, I mean, there might be some appeal to at least seeing, you know, the main event, which was not a great match.
December on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we have two editions of Rewind Away set for you, including a patron's pick where you have voted for us to review the Survivor Series from 1991, Hulk Hogan's Gravest Challenge. Then it's over to 2002 and a review of the very first WWE draft involving Raw and SmackDown as they kick off the brand extension. David Bitsenspan is going to join me as we review Video Killed the Radio Star, a documentary on Bubba the Love Sponge, and the sex tape involving Hulk Hogan. Plus, we will have reviews of TNA Final Resolution, New Japan's World Tag League Final, Collision Course every single week, and XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. Sign up now at postwrestlingcafe.com. All right. Do you want to quickly just go through tomorrow's show?
Sure.
We have four matches to talk about. So AJ Styles and Dragon Lee will be taking on Javon Evans and Leon Slater. I think bare minimum, you need the young guys to win at least one of these three matches. And I could make a hell of an argument of like all the young people just running the table. And that being like this significant event, like this is the end of Cena, but it's also the night like these three just rose up and had these big wins. That's probably unlikely to happen. But this match, which to my understanding is not a title match, I don't see any.
I think. Are you sure?
They never referred to this as a title match on tonight's show.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I thought it was, but okay.
So If this was a title match, I would still be arguing for Evans and Slater to win this match and just do something really shocking. And at the very least, like, you could have them win this match, sets up the title match on an episode of Raw or something. And then Styles and Lee, like, if you want them to win, sure, that's fine. But I would love to see them just go with Evans and Slater here, do the surprise, and it would do so much for Evans and Slater. And, like, Styles and Lee, like, what does a non-title win do for them in this match? Like, it's, to me, it creates, like, an interesting tag title match that you could do at any time over the next while. You could do this at the Barclays Center next month.
100%. Yeah, knowing that this is not a tag title match, I think makes it all the more reason to have Evans and Slater win. I think of really anybody in NXT, like, Javon Evans is the most exciting person that they have, you know, despite being 0-10 or however he is in world championship matches. He is the biggest prospect that I think they have above really anybody in
ring. That's a stat they need to just bury and not remind people of, like, that. That's not that's not like a great stat to that's not the Rocky Balboa story that you're telling here.
From an in-ring perspective, this, I think, has all expectations to be the match of the night. And I have no doubt that they'll deliver. So I would 100% give them the win, especially since this isn't a championship match. You have Dragon Lee in here who could take the loss, and I don't think it really hurts at all if you're worried about protecting AJ Styles. Of course, there's also the AJ Styles, Leon Slater, matchup.
First and last X Division champions.
Exactly, which is, I think, very interesting in its own right. This is really a big match for TNA, you know, potentially having one of their guys, their X Division champion, win a match on a John Cena final retirement show. So I'm actually probably looking forward to this one the most out of, other than the main event.
Do they drop an AMC mention during this match?
Oh, I doubt it. No. Yeah, aren't they a competitor?
Yeah, I don't think they'll go that far. But I'm looking forward to that match a lot. Sol Ruka against Bayley. Again, this is a match that I don't think Bayley loses a thing by losing this match.
But they have Zarya here for
They did set this up on Tuesday where, I mean, they've been leading to this breakup with Sol Ruka and Zarya, and then they made up on Tuesday and Sol Ruka invited her to come to Saturday. So they do have the potential of some kind of angle with Zarya here that is possible that she'll be in her corner. And you do have the opposite of where, you'd have the same where Zarya threw in the towel last time for Sol Ruka and... Well, we'll see what they do here.
I think there probably is going to be rightful speculation that this could actually be the night of the turn and the actual breakup between Zarya and Sol Ruka. And maybe a big question is whether or not you should do that on what is essentially like a main roster show with a crowd that might not necessarily know or care about their relationship as much as maybe doing it on an NXT-centric show. Mm-hmm. But this is the bigger platform. I think the potential is at least there that you might get that breakup. But nonetheless, I see that whole thing costing Sol Ruka the match.
And then Cody Rhodes and Obafemi.
Tough. Well, what do you think? You thought they should give Femi the win. What do you think?
I still feel Obafemi should win this match. I really don't think this is the type of show that you want to do like a lot of like run-ins and stuff like that. It's why I'm kind of hesitant on the Zarya thing. Like, certainly you could have Drew involved in this match. Maybe they will do something here. I just think to do this match, it's the same as the tag title scenario where it's Obafemi could win this match, and this is a match you could redo. It's like Cody Rhodes is totally focused on Drew, and he's overlooked this big opponent that he's not giving all of his attention to. And it really makes Oba on this show, like winning this non-title match, he could lose down the road. I don't think Cody's hurt at all by losing this, and you could do it in such a way where whether Drew is involved or something else. So I'm going towards Oba here, and I kind of like have a case for all these NXT talents to win these matches, and that's sort of like the spirit of this show.
Yeah, I think Evans and Slater get that one. And I almost feel like that might also somehow justify him cashing in the Iron Survivor challenge a bit earlier. Maybe he'll actually go on a tag title run coming off of this instead of like challenging for the NXT. But for this match, I just think like when you have the world championships involved, there's just a lot more implied by, you know, an NXT champion beating a WWE champion proper, much less somebody as protected as a Cody Rhodes. So I personally don't see it. I think Cody Rhodes wins this one, but will he win? Or maybe like, will it be, a draw would be so unsatisfying, but I also don't rule it out. I don't rule out that they could do some sort of like,
they don't even do draws.
Sorry, not draw, like a no contest, you know, coming off of this.
I can't see them doing that on this.
I could totally see it. Yeah.
Why even book it at that point if you can't do a finish? Like, why wouldn't you have just
picked, it's a showcase. Like, it's a showcase.
Is that a showcase? Like, just doing a shit finish that the crowd's going to boo?
I don't think I don't know. They might not consider that big of a risk because people aren't really here to see this match anyway.
Well, then we have Cena and Gunther in the main event. And what do you think would be the most ideal finish that they end up going with here?
I would like to see Gunther put in his cravat lock, and you know, you get your big dramatic, like, we'll see in a tap out, we'll see in a give up moment. He does not give up, but Gunther is able to finish him and pin him anyway to escape the victor. But you still have Cena with the moral victory of being somebody who never tapped out.
Yeah, I'm really interested in how they end up going in this one, because I could really see this being like, it's a very easy Cena wins. I really don't think it hurts Gunther one iota to lose to this guy in such a big match. And it's, you know, it's just you go with the finish that you know is going to send everyone home happy. And I could also see the idea that, like, I could totally believe that Cena would really push hard to lose this match and do something exactly like you said, where he goes out the way you would not be expecting it to be, where it's like the where it's like, yeah, his career is over, he should be going out with the loss. So
I feel like people would leave home happy even if he did lose.
I think if you're gonna do the post-match thing, you give this guy a microphone, that place will be like, I think a loss would even give him a better speech. Like, it'll be motivational John in his element, talking about what is defeat. Mm-hmm. I've already won.
Yeah. Like, obviously we all look at Sting and Darby versus the Bucks as an example of like why you should give somebody on their way out a win. Yes. But like, the Bucks didn't really have anything, in my opinion, to gain from a Sting win, in my opinion. I think Gunther stands to gain a whole lot from this for the rest of his career, to be able to say, I beat John Cena. Although, like, Dominic just beat him. I mean, is it that big of a thing? Maybe it only means something if he actually makes Cena tap out, which maybe makes that tap out finish even more likely. But I just think, like, there's a lot more riding on Gunther. And I think to have him head into, like, Rumble Mania season as the guy to finish John Cena in his final match just makes that character feel that much bigger, rather than having him trying to.
It does establish him after Goldberg as like the guy that ends careers. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you do have this dynamic next year where it's like, you know, AJ Styles is retiring next year. And
Cena mentioned Brock.
That to me is the big match that you could promote, is Gunther and Brock Lesnar in 2026. And if that is a direction that they want to go, then that's a hell of an argument that this loss is exactly what Cena has been saying all week long about the idea of his role of building up the bigger match. And the bigger match would be something akin to a Gunther Brock Lesnar, which after a win like this over Cena, like, it's, like, who is left for a Gunther at that point? Like, it's, you know, you've had Roman Reigns recently lose to Bronson Reed. Like, that's the big dream match then, is Gunther and Brock for some time next year.
Gunther and Brock, yeah. That would be really interesting, though, because, okay, like, assuming what Cena said in that interview, I'm forgetting which one. Was it the Tom Rinaldi one?
I don't know. There's been a lot of them.
Anyway, might have been the Van Vliet one, actually, because if it was in the WWE one, they probably would have edited it out. But he mentioned that, like, Brock Lesnar to just, this is just Cena's words, maybe calling it quits in Minnesota for SummerSlam.
I didn't hear the line, so I don't even know what the, like how it
came he was like, to Cena's knowledge, that's what's happening. But you know, they could change that, but that would mean Brock being in his hometown. I just like wonder if you could push Brock Lesnar as a babyface at this point, just given all the stuff that's out there. But it being in Minnesota and it, like, maybe the way the news cycle works, yeah, I think they'd probably get away with like pushing Brock Lesnar as the babyface against somebody like Gunther. It would just it'd just be really weird. Really weird. But
it's,
yeah,
TKO. It's mm-hmm. Welcome to you know, it's well, there you go. I think it'll be this is going to be like, this could be like one of the biggest, like, from an arena standpoint, like, this is going to be one of the biggest events that the WWE has ever
promoted
that is not like a WrestleMania or Saudi show. Like, just in terms of like the gate, like, God knows, like, the merch that they are going to move tomorrow. Like, this is going to be one of the biggest shows that this company has ever promoted.
We're speaking specifically about arena shows, not stadium shows.
Yeah, as I said, like, outside of like your biggest manias, like, this is going to be bigger than a lot of other manias. Like this is going to dwarf some of those like staple centers for WrestleMania or Rosemont Horizons. But like, outside of the biggest of the big shows, like, this is like right below it when it comes to like this could very well exceed a $5 million gate.
Any a politician showing up?
Certainly, I guess, if I have no idea. You think so?
No, I don't think so. Well, I don't know. We're speaking about the president, right?
I mean, there could be multiple. Like, they're in Washington.
I guess there could be other politicians.
Maybe RFK Jr. will stop by.
Well, put away the Tylenol.
Him and Paul Levesque, the president's, you know, his fitness team.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, sure. They know people. Linda. Will Linda show up?
I think Linda's going to be there, yeah.
Okay.
So there's your answer.
Mm-hmm.
The Department of Education will be represented. All right. We are going to say goodbye here on the YouTube channel. We'll take a bit of your feedback on the Post Wrestling Cafe, and then we're back late Saturday night here on the Post Wrestling YouTube channel. We will chat with you then after Saturday night's main event.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.